Well, tonight we have some really good questions that have been submitted. And the first one's a real head scratcher, I have to admit. It's a question that is pretty popular to ask, but I tried to come up and look at it in maybe just a slightly different way from the way it's been looked at in the past. But we're going to start in Luke chapter 12 and verse 10. Luke chapter 12 and verse 10. And here's what the questioner asks. Here's what is written. In Luke 12:10, it is mentioned that there is forgiveness for speaking against the Son of Man, but no forgiveness for blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Please elaborate. I like it when they say, please elaborate. I can do that. I can elaborate on something. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to elaborate on this. But let's look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 10 for just a moment, and let's see what it says. It says this, "And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven." Well, what in the world is Jesus talking about in this passage? And what does he mean by blaspheming against the Holy Spirit? Well, that's a very good question, and that's a question we're going to try to answer tonight. But first of all, I want us to be aware of the context here in Luke chapter 12. We really have to go back to Luke chapter 11 to get the context. In Luke, because that's really where this discussion starts. Jesus is having to have a conversation with the Pharisees in this context. And way back in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 14, this is where the discussion about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit actually begins. Now, in the books of Mark chapter 3 and verses 20 through 27, you have a parallel account there. And you also have a parallel account in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 22 through 30. And both Mark and Matthew place this statement about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit immediately after the story that we're about to read in Luke. Because in looking at this story, that's what is being connected with this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, the story in Luke is in Luke chapter 11 and verses 14 through 23. So let's look at that for just a moment. Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 23. It says, "And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. And some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Now, in Matthew and Mark, and let's look at Mark for just a moment. Mark chapter 3 and verses 20 through 27. Mark chapter 3 and verses 20 through 27. Let's look at that. And then we'll look at Matthew, and we'll just notice a couple of differences between Luke's account and Mark and Matthew's account. Mark chapter 3 and verse 20 through 27. It's basically the same story, except that in Mark, Jesus says this, How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Now look at verse 28 and 29. Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatsoever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Okay? Now, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 22 through 30, and we're going to see a little bit more information. Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 30. Matthew chapter 12 and verses 22 through 30. It's basically, again, the same story, but there's one slight difference. This is 22 through 30. Jesus makes this statement in verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Verse 28. Now, that's important in this context. Because in Luke records Jesus saying, if I cast out demons by the finger of God. But here, Jesus says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. Now, he said both of those things, okay? He said both the finger of God and the Spirit of God. And he must have been teaching this to different people at different moments. You know, Jesus had a lot of people surrounding him in a lot of instances. And people would ask him questions and he would respond. And somebody else would ask a question, he would respond. And the disciples heard what they heard Jesus say. And so Luke records Jesus saying the finger of God. He said that. But then Matthew records him saying the Spirit of God. Jesus said that also. There's no contradiction here, okay? He said both things. But the important thing is this, in relationship to this question that's being asked, it's that Jesus said, if I by the Spirit of God cast out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And that's the point. You see, because the Pharisees were blaspheming the Spirit of God that was working to cast out the demon that was in this man. And they were saying, this is not the Spirit of God, this is the spirit of Satan. Now, why would they say that? Why would the Pharisees accuse Jesus, who is doing some very good works here, right? Helping people, really getting involved in people's lives, healing those who have some serious problems, healing here, casting out demons in people who had some serious, serious problems, right? Those are good things. Now, Satan doesn't do those good things. Satan doesn't do that, and if he were to do that, then he would be fighting against himself, like Jesus said he would be. And his kingdom would be divided, and it would be overcome. But rather, Jesus is the stronger of the two. And that's Jesus' point when he tells this story about the strong man entering into a house and spoiling his goods. Jesus is the stronger of the two. And so when Jesus tells Satan to get out, Satan's got to get out. And that's just the way it is. And that's what Jesus is saying. The stronger is the one who is prevailing. Now the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the spirit of Beelzebub. That is Satan himself. That's ridiculous. But at the same time, it's an accusation against the spirit that Jesus had and that he employed to cast out these demons. Now, what is that spirit? It was the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3 and verse 34, The Bible teaches us that God gave the Spirit to Jesus without measure. That means that Jesus had the full and complete power of the Holy Spirit at His disposal, and He could use that power as He saw fit. And that's important, because that's what He was doing. He was using the power of the Holy Spirit to cast out these demons. But when the Pharisees said, "You're casting them out by Satan," they were accusing the Holy Spirit of being Satan. Now, what would cause a person to do that? And what would cause a person to say that? Well, you see, the Pharisees were so envious of Jesus and His work. And the Pharisees were prideful people. They had so much pride within them. And their envy was just overflowing. In fact, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 18 and Mark chapter 15 and verse 10 teaches us that for envy they delivered Jesus to be crucified. Now that's how serious the sin of envy is. Envy crucified Jesus. And we need to get rid of the sin of envy if it's in our life. But envy blinds people. And pride blinds people. And the pride and envy of the Pharisees here had blinded them to the good works that Jesus was doing. And hence, they were willing to go to any length to destroy Jesus, even to the length of denying the good works of the Holy Spirit. You see? Now look, when someone is so filled with pride and envy that they will deny the good works of the Holy Spirit, they have gotten to a point, spiritually speaking, where they are lost and it is impossible for them to return to God. They're so filled with their own pride. They're so filled with their own envy. And look, this is possible. This can take place. That a person is so filled with his own pride and his own envy and his own hatred that he is lost for good. And he's not coming back. He loves himself and he loves his evil works more than he loves God. More than he loves the Holy Spirit, to the point where he will blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now that's what they did. That's what they did. Well, how does that apply to us today? Well, today, the Holy Spirit speaks through God and His Word. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 6 through 16. God speaks through the word of the Holy Spirit. God speaks through the word of the Holy Spirit, which is recorded for us in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 6 through 16, look at the words of the Apostle Paul here. He says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, 'Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.'" Now look at verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit right there. The one who refuses to receive the words of the Holy Spirit. And look, he can't receive the words of the Holy Spirit because he is the natural man. What is that natural man? The one who is so full of himself, who's so full of his own sin, who's so full of his own pride and envy and anger and all the sins that the Bible talks about, and is so caught up in those things that he can't possibly let them go. Now, there are people like that in this world. And that's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, do we know those people simply by looking at them? No, we don't know them simply by looking at them. And that's why we've got to go and take the gospel to everyone. That's why God tells us to preach the word of God to everyone. And then it will be made manifest what kind of person that is. Whether that one is going to humble himself and listen to the words of the Holy Spirit, or whether he's going to continue in his pride and envy and never listen to the Word of God. And it is that rejection of the Word of God today that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.